So here we are, we're traveling through the book of Luke, and we're going back and forth, and this week we're in Luke chapter 15, but Jesus is in a point now where he's on his way to Jerusalem. We know that because when he leaves the Mount of Transfiguration, he tells everyone, I'm on my way. I know what I got to do. He meets with his father, and he meets with Moses, and he meets with Elijah, and his mission is before him, and he's headed to Jerusalem. He tells those with him that he intends to die, they tend to kill him, and it's the third time he said this, and so he's on his way there, and he meets with many people, and he sends out messengers, and he's sitting down with a group of, I love when it says this, with a group of sinners. He wouldn't find any here, would he? He'd come here, look around, and go, all right, and leave, you know? No sinners here. Oh. And I love parables. He uses a parable. He sits down with tax collectors who were really hated. They were hated so much because they could charge extra. They could charge whatever they wanted. And if you didn't pay the tax collector, you were strung up on a cross and you were beaten and you were thrown in jail. And then you'd have to pay your debts while you're in jail. Kind of hard to do, isn't it? But somebody would have to pay your debt for you. And so no one liked the tax collectors. We see that Matthew's life was turned around when he said, I'm done with this life. I'm going to start a new life. And I'm going to follow Jesus. And we got to love parables because I think of parables as something where Jesus says to us, he says, let me dumb this down for you. All right, you're not real bright. Let me simplify this for you, all right? I'll make it easy. Maybe not exactly. He's not dumbing it down for us. He knows we're not dumb, but. So here we are in chapter 15. He's sitting down with tax collectors and sinners. And they're all gathering around him to hear. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, there too, it was a big group there. And they mutter to themselves. You got to love that word, muttering. Anybody mutter under their voice? I had a boss, his name was Craig Halgo, and he was amazing. And he taught me, when I got out of college, I couldn't figure out what I was going to do with my life because I was 23 and real good looking. And what am I going to do? And full of promise, right? And vim and vigor. And so I went out to... I couldn't find a job. This was 1992. I couldn't find a job. And so I answered the ad and I went to go work in the mall. Ew. You know, it's like two of the things. Who wants to go to Cecil College when younger? Boo, we didn't think much of it. And what is it now? It's fantastic. It's world class and it changes lives. And so I went into retail and that changed my life. And because I worked with him, he was a devout Christian and he had a tryout with the New England Patriots, and because he was like big old, he went to Iowa State, and he was big fella, and he could really play quarterback, and he was something, and he was good looking and fit, and so we worked in a sporting goods store, and so he was, you know, and he was in the number two, Christiana Mall was number two in the whole out of 500 stores, you know, only the store in Puerto Rico, which was like a Kmart, beat us, so he was well known and respected, and they would send people to him to be trained, and I just happened to walk in the door on a slow day, and they hired me. And so working with him was just amazing. And goodness, I lost my point there. Oh, I hate my... Where am I? Stick to the script, right? But he showed me something different. And he showed me that there was honor in what I was doing. And he said one day, you know, I was complaining. I got myself back. I was complaining about something he wanted me to do. And I had a habit of speaking under my breath. He said, you're muttering again. You're a mutterer, and quit muttering. So I had to quit muttering. And I found out later he moved to Arizona, and he was sitting at his desk, and an aneurysm struck him down. He left behind a beautiful wife and two kids. And when I got the news, it was crushing. And I really admired him, but... He's with the Lord. So he really changed my life. And then, of course, I move on, get my own store, and I meet my wife. And so it changed my life. I got her. Isn't that cool? In the mall. I was on the discount rack. You want to go to Arby's, baby, for lunch, huh? That'll get them right there. Get you a shake. So the Pharisees are muttering underneath their breath, and they're talking. Jesus over there with the sinners, and he's trying to tell them a story. They're complaining, like, look at him. He eats with sinners. Why is he doing this? And Jesus tells this parable. He says to them, suppose one of you has 100 sheep, and one of them, you lose one of them. What do? You got 99, right? That you keep the large flocks safe, right? Jesus says, no. What you do is you go after the one who is lost. And what do when you find it? You bring it home, you put it on your shoulders. There he is over here. He's found it. And he brings it home. And what do? You tell everyone. You cheer, and everyone cheers for him. He says, the one who was lost was found. Rejoice with me, he says. Rejoice. And I tell you the same way. There'll be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99 righteous who do not need to repent. There was that word again, repent. Y'all remember last week when I kind of beat you over the head with it? Turn back to God is what we said. We don't like the word repent, but those who turn back to God, they're so important to do. Or he says, here's another parable for you. There's a woman, she has 10 silver coins. And back in those days, 10 silver coins would be like a dowry. It was sort of a gift you give your wife at marriage so that if something happens, you have a little bit of money. And the coins were on a chain, so they would keep it. They wouldn't wear it. They would just keep it away. And then she loses one, and she goes through her house with the dusty floors, and she looks, until she finds it. She's losing her mind. That's 10% of your money, right? And she finds it. What does she do? She goes out, and she tells everyone, I found my lost coin. I found it. And everyone rejoices with her. It's the same rejoicing that will happen when we are in the presence of God, when one sinner comes back. And we hear this famous story. Anyone hear the prodigal son story before? We've heard that one. Want to hear it again? That's where we are today. We're doing it again for the 30th time, right? You ready? And I hope I can do something different this time that you may not have heard. There was a man who had two sons. And the younger son said to his father, give me my share of the estate. And so he divided the property between them. And not long after that, the younger son got together all that he had. And he set off for a distant country. And there he squandered all his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything he had, there was a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in need. And so he went out and he hired himself to a citizen of that country, who sent him to the fields to feed the pigs. And he longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. Here we have a story of a son. He wants what his father has. And in those days, it was a patriarchal society, right? And the father was the head of the household. And the sons would get the first son would get two-thirds or the most, the share of the inheritance. And the younger son wanted his. And so in those days, where was your money tied up? It was tied up in land. It wasn't in the stock market. He didn't have any options or puts, guy, whatever those are, right? He didn't have any Bitcoin. It was land and cattle and sheep. And when the son wanted to liquidate, what did the father have to do? Take one-third of his land, go out to everyone, said, it's for sale. Take it. I needed to sell it. The son wants it. This is what the son is saying to his father. Thanks, Dad. I don't want to be around you anymore. I want the money before you're dead. I don't want you. I want what's coming to me now. And the father, like our Father in heaven, gives us what we want, doesn't he? So he comes to his senses because he sees pigs. And as a Jewish person, you're telling the story, he had to work with pigs. Back then, pigs weren't, they couldn't eat those. In the book of Leviticus, you don't eat pigs because they're filthy animals. And they eat, because they were, it's not like the animals of the field who ate grass and they ate things, they got parasites. And you all remember back until 1956, right? We got that wormy thing and pork. You could, had to cook it all the way. Today, who still cooks pork way past overdue? You all do, don't you? Who cooks it medium rare? Not one of you. You do. So do I. You don't have to go all the way anymore, Ann, because they've taken care of that. But it stuck for a long time before pig was safe to eat. And so now it is. But then it wasn't safe to eat. That's why God said, don't eat this. Don't eat that. Don't eat seafood. You're a people set apart. You're going to respect me. You're going to obey me. Here are the things you can't do. Everyone know you're going to follow me by the things you do and things you don't eat and the way you live your life. So he comes to his senses. He's like, this is awful. I need to change my life. He's as low as he can go. He's blown all of his money on wine, women, and song. Wild living, not a bad way to go. But listen, he's got to come back. How many of my father's hired servants have food? People who work for my dad have food, and here I am, I'm starving to death. And I will go back, and I will go back to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son, and make me like one of your hired servants. That's what he's going to say when he gets back to his father. He's got a plan, doesn't he? He's already repenting in his heart, isn't he? This is the one that took a third of whatever dad had, and he lost it all. But he realizes that what he needs is his father. He needs to go back. He's got a plan. Good for him. And so he went up, and he went to go back to his father. But while he was away, and still a long way off, his father saw him in the distance, and he was filled with compassion. So he ran to his son, and back then fathers didn't run to their children. They would wait until the child came back to their doorstep, sat down there, and said, Father, and showed them signs of respect. But this father, he loses his mind, doesn't he? He runs across the field to gather back his son in his arms. He throws his arms around him, and he kisses him, and he says to his, the son now says, Father, the same prayer he said before, I have sinned against heaven, I have sinned against you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. He can't say anything else because the father interrupts him. Father says this, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and he's alive again. He was lost and he is found. What's the son get? He comes back and he gets everything good, doesn't he? He gets the finest robe and he gets the signet ring, you know, which represents he's part of the family. He didn't have shoes. Get him nice shoes. We're going to have a festival. We're going to have a feast. We're eating good tonight. We're eating good in the neighborhood, right? We're eating at Jessup's Tavern. We're eating good. Let's celebrate with the fattened calf. My son is lost. And so they began to celebrate, and there was a party going on, and everyone's invited. When you kill a cow to have it for dinner, that's a lot of beef. Everyone's invited. Everyone come in, celebrate. Lots of wine, lots of music, a big festival, lots of figs. My fig tree hasn't come yet. I can't curse it yet, guy. It hasn't come. I'm waiting to kill it when I put it outside and run over the mower, but it hasn't come yet. So they began to celebrate, and there's the older son, and he's in the field, and he comes near the house, and he hears celebration. So he calls the servant over and says, what's going on? He says, your brother's back. And dad's celebrating. They're having one heck of a party. And your father has killed the fattened calf because he's back and he's safe and he's sound. The older brother was happy and went in and partied all night long, right? No, Kim, he didn't do that, did he? He was mad. He was mad that the brother came back. He should be glad, shouldn't he? Shouldn't we be glad when our family member, when someone comes back and in love and in hope and together and he says no? The older brother's angry, and he won't go into the party. He's in petulant. He's sitting out there. So the father, once again, goes out to meet the son. This is not what they do. You come to the father. You come, and you stand before him, and you show respect. Right, Robbie? Them kids don't come. We'll show them, right? No, not really. If you want to hang out with me, I'm here. So the father went out and pleaded with this son, come in. Come into the celebration. But he answers his father, and he doesn't even show respect. He doesn't say, Father. He just says, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, and you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But this son of yours comes home, and he squandered your property, and he's squandered with prostitutes, and he comes home, and what do you do for him? You kill the fattened calf. And the father says, my son, you've always been with me, and everything I have is yours, but we had to celebrate, you see, because this brother of yours was dead. He's alive again. He was lost, and now he's found. And you've heard this many times, haven't you? And we look at the older brother, and we're always trying to figure out who we are in the story, aren't we? Are we the younger son? We get our inheritance from our parents and blow it? And on while living, I haven't done that yet. There's no been big bag of money yet. I don't know when it's coming. Maybe it never comes. Who's it coming from? I don't know. So that's not me. I'm not the older brother. I'm not the younger brother. I'm like the older brother. I obeyed my parents. I was a good one. My sister Kim was a heartbreak. She was crazy, you know, and she didn't obey the rules. And my parents went to Jamaica or Bermuda because, like, for one night and 2 days, you know, because who can leave six kids, you know, with the older sister? We had the biggest blowout party you've ever seen of high school people. And I'm in, like, fourth grade, you know, and you know, serving cocktails, you know, because they needed somebody, you know. It was nuts. And she would take a car, and one day the car didn't have, it wasn't working right. All it had was reverse, Jeff, and so she drove it up the road. My stepfather was after her, chasing her, like, you can't drive the car in reverse all the way to Elkton. And she was gone. So you think about, you know, as being the fifth born out of six, I saw what the other ones did. And I didn't want to cause my parents any more stress. So I was pretty obedient. I was a pretty dull kid. I didn't cause any trouble. I just went along with things, obeyed the school teachers and, you know, and never got crazy. And so, but you see this son, he gets crazy. He wants what his father has. He says, give me what you have. Sell what you own. Be a disgrace to the people. I don't want you, Dad. This is us saying we don't want the Father in heaven. But he wants us, doesn't he? And he comes out to meet us. He doesn't meet us halfway. He meets us as soon as he sees us. He runs out and he hears the son. He is contrite. He's like King David. You remember King David in Psalm 51? He says, have mercy on me, God. According to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. David begs the Lord, wash away my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. You know my transgressions, he said, and my sin is always before me. I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me, yet you desired faithfulness even in the womb. Cleanse me, and I will be clean. Create in me a pure heart, he says, and renew the spirit in me. Make in me a new heart. We see something in here. We see contrition. And I was thinking about, that's when you're sorry and you're truly sorry and you come before God before he tells you to, and you come before him. And I think of the most contrite person in my life is my son. He is so clever, isn't he? When he does something wrong or says something, he immediately apologizes. And you know what that makes between, I can't think of one thing I'm mad at my son for. You know that? That's truth. Because he always apologizes before I ask, and he'll come back later and say, are you still mad about that? And I'm like, what are you talking about? He always does that. It's amazing. It's almost manipulative, isn't it? But it isn't, is it? It's heartfelt. Isn't that amazing? He's always there with a sorry demo. Forget about it. You're my son. You're amazing. So we have these. So who are you? Are you the younger son? Did you do these things? Did you turn away from God? Yes, we all have. Does he invite us back? He is. And you get back. And so who do we thank? Who do we thank for this big party? Because there's a party in heaven that says there, and I think it's Isaiah 21. When you come to heaven, there's going to be a great feast. It's going to have the finest meats and cheeses. There in Revelation 19, come to the wedding supper of the Lamb. It's going to be a great place. There's going to be such a party in heaven one day. You all want to go to it? Well, we know one thing, right? Who had a wedding recently? Who paid for it? Right, Robbie and Kim, who paid for that wedding? Somebody, right? Was it free? It was not free. Someone paid for it. So we see the son comes back to the father, and the father throws a big celebration. But who pays? Does the father pay? No, it's not his. Who pay? The older son pays. He gets the inheritance. This fatted calf comes out of his. And who pays the price for the party in heaven we're going to? It's the son of the son. Jesus pays the price. We're going to celebrate. Who's paying? The son says, I'll pay it. How do we get to the party? We have to first repent, show contrition. He accepts us in, doesn't he? Freely and wholly. Come to the party. Like we said last week in Isaiah 55, if you're thirsty, come, he says. Come get all the honey and milk you can drink. And the cost is free. It's free to you. Come, accept what he has to offer. The older son pays the price, like Jesus paid on Calvary for us. Isn't this a beautiful story? Who's the good one? The younger son, the prodigal. He's the good one. The older one, we pray for him to be more kind. But he pays the price. Jesus paid for us. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this amazing grace that you share with us each and every day. It's not we don't deserve it. It's unmerited. But yet you, like manna from heaven, it never stops coming. It pours and it comes over us in such a rush. And the world says, no, I don't want what you have, Father. Give me the things that are good of this world, but I don't want you. Give me wealth and give me food and give me a good time, but I don't want you, Father. I want you out of my life. And one day, each and every one of us will realize that there's nothing there. There's nothing left. What is left after all the accolades we get and all the money and all the things we have? They all are turned to dust and to rust and something that will be taken away from us. There's only one thing that's left. That's the great feast of which each and every one of us is invited to. With a contrite heart and a renewed spirit made in each and every one of us, we can accept this gift, this free gift of eternal life. And one day I will see Bob, and I will see my mother, and I will see all those blessed saints who've gone on before me. And more importantly, I will see my Father face to face because of his Son, who paid my debt, who takes away my sins, who says, come, come to the feast like a radiant bride. This is how I love you. Forever and ever and ever, we will be together. Amen. Amen. Amen.